Hey guys, welcome to another Chit Chat episode. These ones we try and keep shorter, but sometimes the conversations are they're too good. Well, we're enjoying it too much and they expand a bit, but that's good. We're going to try and keep this one shorter.
Yeah, and these episodes are kind of for us to just chat about random things in a range of different categories, whether it's something we're working on together, something we find interesting, something that we want to kind of workshop live on the potty. So today we're actually going to be talking about a discussion we briefly touched on, just Blair and I, last week, and something that kind of came up as we were just looking into some other things, which we'll go into a little bit more, but something from Blair's side that he kind of shared randomly and was the first time I'd heard and kind of the first time you'd thought through, I guess, workshopped that in your brain. So I thought we'd share it on here as well. But before we do that, we're going to start with some
warm-ups.
Warm-ups.
Well, these aren't really funny or fun.
We're just going to get you real low and real.
Yeah. Well, they're not low, but they're just not the funny type of ones. But okay. I'll start anyway. How has your approach to handling disagreements evolved since you started your family?
Since we started the family?
Hmm. Well, I think your family is including you and me.
Oh, okay, cool. Yeah. Well, it's evolved a lot. I think one thing is that before we got married, as we've mentioned on the podcast.
I went down the wrong way. Yeah.
Before we got married, as we've mentioned on the podcast, we worked together for a little while. So we kind of were forced to figure out how to navigate some of the tough conversations then. And then after getting married, I guess, is when those things became more of a necessity as well, because we're living together and that kind of thing. I think a lot of the stuff we've already shared on the podcast before, like just figuring out how each of us work differently, that's definitely a huge one that's evolved over the time. I think as well the significance of navigating tough conversations well has become higher. It's become more important to us because we've got kids and they're watching. And that's really important to us that they see that kind of thing displayed well. I don't know. What about you? What do you think?
Well, I think just trying to see from the other person's perspective a lot more. I think before our relationship, I think I was more dismissive and it's like, oh, well, screw you. You know, like if I disagreed with someone or something, like it'd be either more offense to it or just more dismissive. So I think since our relationship, again, more since having since being married and even more so with the kids, is like, because I can so, and I still do, and I'm trying to work on it, is be very dismissive to the kids. Like, you know, with my disagreements with them, I was like, oh, just get it done, or like, it's just not a big deal, whatever else, but really trying to come from the perspective of their perspective and try to understand where they're coming from, especially kids, because like you brought up the other day, they've got no, like I get frustrated down to like by things that don't make sense to me. You know what I mean? Like, and kids do a lot of things that just don't make sense. So trying to understand that, is something I think is improved, but something I'm definitely trying to work on more with the kids.
I think on that kind of thing as well, one thing that's really evolved is us taking the strengths from the other person a little bit. So that conversation that we had about your expectations on the kids and that frustrates you and people don't meet your expectations, that's something that I brought in for you, but you've been able to help me as well confront things. Like I was more avoidant before. You're much better at kind of just putting things out on the table and discussing them constructively. And so that's something that I've had to navigate and strengthen a little bit. So I think that's one huge thing about how it's evolved is just we've kind of fed from each other in a mostly in a constructive way.
Yeah, absolutely. So the last question, in what ways have your children taught you about life or relationships?
I mean, having a kid just completely destroys your sense of self.
Yeah.
You can't be selfish anymore. Your entitlement, that's huge. I don't know. There's not the same amount of space to think about what I want or what I need and let that be the value. Like, I do think about it still, but it's not usually the driving force because I just don't have time to have that as a priority.
Yeah, we sometimes comment about, well, we do a little bit sometimes, about how when you deal with, when you're with couples that don't have kids, there's quite a big difference in what, like,
priorities.
Yeah. Yeah, like priorities and communication even, you know, like when we do something with a couple that don't have kids, we're very communicative to them, like, you know, what are we trying to do and whatever.
We need to be, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's definitely a big one is, yeah, just that communication with other people and whatever too.
Yeah.
I think a big thing that they've taught us, man, again, like, yeah, they teach us so much. I think it's a lot of it is coming to their level on a lot of things, coming down to their level on a lot of things, you know, not overcomplicating things because you can't with kids. Just, yeah, really focusing on those sorts of stuff. Like, again, they teach us so much. So it's hard to pinpoint some.
Yeah. But I think a huge one for me that they've taught me, not directly, but it's something that I've had to learn because of being a mom, is like just how innocent love is and how like unconditional love can be. Because we love each other. And I would say we love each other mostly unconditionally. But there's a whole different level when you have a kid and all of a sudden you're like, oh my goodness, I love this thing so much. And watching even up till now, like our oldest is 7 and he is still so unconditionally affectionate. If we were to show interest in him in any moment, he's keen as a green bean, like he's there. And so it's almost like scary how innocently they love, and it's beautiful, but it also is a huge encouragement for me. Like I really want to foster their sense of acceptance from us in this, because look at the faces when they look at us, like they're just so, we're their favorite people. And that's such a unique experience.
Absolutely.
There we go.
Follow us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, YouTube, and you can email us
the tube
at honeyweneedtochat on all platforms. honeyweneedtochat@gmail.com is our email address. You can contact us and submit questions. You can submit your stories. You can give us suggestions, constructive advice.
Outfit advice. If you're on YouTube, I need it. Please
be
help.
Be gentle, please. Thank you. Yes, please email us, follow us, like, subscribe. And we would also love for you guys to share this podcast, because our whole heart behind this is to create a community that is passionate about communication, basically.
And growing our relationships.
Exactly. Yeah. So please like, subscribe, share, all of those special things. Thank you.
So as we mentioned at the beginning of the episode, Blair and I were discussing some concepts that we've been learning, and we're always trying to learn different things about how to kind of strengthen our relationship, how to strengthen ourselves, all of that sort of stuff. The really constructive, hopefully constructive concepts. And so we were discussing some things last week that I'll run us through. And like I said, there was a moment where all of a sudden Blair had a little bit of a understanding about a thought pattern. And so we thought it would be good to kind of explore a little bit more. Well, there's like so many things that make up how we think, right? And so we've been learning a little bit about what goes into how any given person will navigate the world around them. And so the first thing we were learning, just to give the background, is that when you are looking at your reality, looking at the things that happen in your everyday life, there's a whole bunch of layers that make that up. And so it starts with your values and your beliefs. What you value will influence what you then believe about the world around you. What you believe will influence your thoughts, and your thoughts will influence your actions, and those actions influence your outcomes and your life, which then makes up your reality. That sounds like a lot of words in one little go, but basically it means, you know, if you value family time, for example, if family time is a huge value to you, that's going to influence your beliefs around it. So you'd be like, family time is very important. That's something we have to prioritize. That's something that's really important. That's influenced your belief about it. Then your thoughts are influenced by that, because your thoughts in any given moment can be swayed by your family. Your family is your priority. Your family maybe trumps work, maybe trumps other responsibilities. Maybe you find yourself thinking negative thoughts when someone else isn't valuing the same sort of thing. Then that moves to your actions as well. So your thoughts, whatever you're thinking about a thing, is going to influence how you act in the world. So you could, if you're frustrated at someone else not valuing the same thing that you do, you might be acting frustrated. You might be acting annoyed. You might be having those kinds of reactions. Or if you're thinking about, oh man, we really should, you know, get together as a family, it's been a while, thus can influence your actions. You might pull something together. And then those actions influence your outcomes. So whatever you're, you know, if you're being annoyed at somebody, for example, that's going to influence the outcome. That relationship might have a bit of a rough patch, or you might end up having a difficult conversation, or you might, you know, end up distancing yourself from them because they're not matching your values, whatever. That's impacted the outcome of that situation, which then impacts your life. And that all together kind of makes your reality. Those are the things that kind of influence how you live. And so that's we were finding that really fascinating to learn, because when you're dealing with things that aren't like realities that aren't positive, or you're falling into patterns that aren't helpful or constructive, it's not just a matter of like, oh, change that pattern. It's a matter of trying to go back and be like, where along that line that I just stepped us through is something out of whack? Like, where is this sitting? Where does it come from? Where did it kind of get inserted? And how can I go back and then adjust that part of my thinking? And so as we were talking about this, I don't even remember what the conversation was that kind of brought it up. I think I said something along the lines of, you know, I don't ever doubt myself as a parent. I'm not someone who, when I'm interacting with the kids, I'm like, oh, Amy, you're so bad at this. But I definitely have times where I'm like, I wish I was better at this, but it's not a matter of being like, I'm not a good mom. It's more like, oh, I wish I was better at teaching the kids this, or I wish I was better at displaying this to the kids. And I think I expressed something like that to you. And then all of a sudden you had a little bit of a revelation. Do you want to share what that was?
Yeah, it's funny because I'm really trying to rack my brain of how the conversation started. And, but yeah, in that moment I'm like, oh wow, I am quite consumed by how much I'm messing my kids up, you know what I mean? And my fear, because again, yeah, family is a huge priority for me, but it's also a big cause of fear, I guess. So, and what was happening was, and then this is where the realization we're coming to, is I was focusing on that so much. I was focusing on, you know, I'd react in a certain way and I would hate it. And I'm like, my thoughts are straight away, oh man, you know, my kids are going to need therapy when they're older. Like I'm going to, you know, they're going to really struggle with me when they're older, all this sort of stuff. And it was feeding my frustration, if that makes sense. Yeah. So like my picture of what could be in a negative way was feeding my overwhelmness more than my frustration, probably a better way of saying it. And I was getting more overwhelmed. And when I'm getting overwhelmed, I'm dealing more frustrated. Like I'm being more frustrated with the kids. I'm lashing out. I'm not dealing with the process, like dealing with the situation well, which then feeds back into I'm a bad dad. I'm not going to, like, you know, I'm messing my kids up, all this sort of stuff. It's just this downward spiral.
Yeah. Interesting. So basically like in any instance where you're having like you're frustrated and it's a little like spike of whatever at a child of one of our kids, your thought is, oh, I'm ruining them. And that makes you even more like irritated in that instance.
Yeah, because I'm irritated at myself.
Yeah.
And then so I'm just irritated. And then
it comes out.
Yeah, because kids, you don't, especially at our age, like our kids' age, they don't, it's not a, you know, the conversation's finished in a second.
Yeah.
Conversations drag out for ages. And so it's like an ongoing thing. And you might have that same conversation 5 times, you know, until they get it. But yeah.
Yeah. So when you said that, I was like, oh, that's huge. And I think when you actually shared it, it was really, it's a very short little thing you said, and it was very bleak sounding. And I was like, that's a really big thing because I don't have those moments. I definitely have the moments where I'm like, oh, if I don't get on top of this attitude, my kid's going to have this attitude or they're going to really resent me for that. But I don't have in the moment where I'm frustrated. My frustration is just, I'm frustrated at you right now. And I mean, I still don't act lovely in those moments, but it's not fueled by my thought about myself as a parent. And it just, it made me really sad, I guess, when you shared that, because I was like, that's a really toxic thing that's going into your head. And then you're reinforcing it. And it was like that had only just occurred to you that that's what happened.
Oh, absolutely. Like I think it was, I think that was a realization of that's where my mind was going. And that was what was feeding it. And I think it was all like within a span of 5-10 minutes, of our conversation. It was really, it hit me quite, I got quite emotional. And because I hate that feeling. I hate, you know, I want to have joy in my parenting and stuff. And I just wasn't getting that. And it was huge.
Yeah. So we that was kind of late, so we didn't really discuss it too much, but it was interesting to have that come up right after we'd learned about this. I don't know what you'd call it, but this, like, I guess, series of events that happen to influence our reality, because that's obviously a thought that's popping into your head and then it's impacting your actions, impacting the outcome, impacting your reality. Yeah. So it's reinforcing, and then it's then reinforcing that. But there's the thought isn't the thing. So like when we were learning about this, it'd be easy to be like, oh, you got to stop that thought. Mm. The thought isn't the thing that's making that happen. There's a belief and a value that sits behind those that's impacting you having that thought at that time. And so like trying to identify, and I can think of a couple of reasons why that would be the case. And one would be, you know, value sitting at the foundation there. It's very, you very much value being a good dad. That is a huge value you've got, specifically. And so I can see how somewhere between having that value and having that thought, there's a, it's been twisted and it's been made toxic instead of it being an enabling value like that impacts your thoughts positively. It's actually something's twisted and it's impacting your thoughts in a toxic way, which is then a downward spiral rather than a positive thing. So there's something in between that. And the thing that sits in between that is beliefs. So there's, maybe there's something sitting in what you believe about yourself or what you believe is possible in your fatherhood or whatever, that's actually what's twisted that. And maybe like a better area to kind of be focusing on rather than just shutting down that thought, or the shutting down the thought could be positive as well. Does that sound like it could be accurate?
Oh, absolutely. And I think, you know, you brought up a really good point too, and this is again through what we're all exploring, is like, you know, because I focus on that, you know, I do, again, yeah, I do. I really want to be a good dad. I want to be a good husband. Like, it's such a drive for me in nearly every area that my fear is that I won't be. And that fear is what I focus on. So not I don't necessarily focus on the good and how I am a good dad or how I am a good husband. I focus on, but what if I'm not, you know, and that is being, and then I'll react in a certain way, like with the kids or with you, whatever. And then that reinforces, I'm not, I'm not a good dad. I'm not a good husband. And yeah, it's a sucky feeling. It's a very sucky feeling. And I think through that conversation, we're discussing this, and I've been really trying to focus on that this last week. You know, focus on like, you know, focusing on the good, not ignoring the bad, like we're working on the bad, but like focusing on the good. And I really have seen that shift in my attitude and my enjoyment with the kids. You know, after that, I think, was it after that I took Charlie away for the weekend?
I can't remember.
It was just after. So I took just after I came back from taking Charlie, and I think that was what I realized, is like I had, you know, we got four kids, we got one puppy, and it's intense. It's a lot going on. It's quite overwhelming. And then when I took Charlie away for that weekend, I'm like, this is amazing. Like, I'm really connecting with him. We are bonding so well. We're having a good time, and I felt like a good dad. Like, I really felt like a good dad. And so through our conversations, like that conversation, I was like, all right. No, I'm not a crap dad. Like, I'm not. Like, okay, cool. I've got some things I've got to work on. Everyone does, but I'm not a bad dad. And so I was really trying to focus on like that weekend. And then as well on, so I work 4 days a week. So I'm with two of our kids 1 day a week because Amy works that day and our other two are in school. And I had this time with my daughter, and we went grocery shopping and we cleaned the car and we did all this sort of stuff just one-on-one. And it was just beautiful. Like, I love that moment. I love that time. And she was cracking it. She was having, you know, she's young and she was cracking it. And I responded well, like I responded positive. And again, it was just that reinforcement. I'm like, oh, I'm not a bad dad. Like, I can do this, you know, I can do well. I'm going to have my moments, but I'm not a bad dad. And then since then, like, okay, I've raised my voice a couple of times. Like, I know I have still. It doesn't mean now the switch has been flicked and now I'm a perfect dad, but it's just that those moments don't keep me down. And then it's easier for me to apologize to the kids and continue to work on it. But also, I'm actually enjoying things more because I feel lighter. I'm feeling like, all right, cool. You know, okay, I've had a bad moment, but I'm not a bad dad. I've got to keep going for it. And having my focus on the positives, on the strengths, has been quite a shift for me in this last week.
Yeah.
And I know it's not going to stay that way. And this is where you and I got to keep talking about it. And you know, when I get those low moments again, the conversation is start again. But yeah, it's been a nice shift since that conversation. And again, emphasizing the importance of conversation. Because it's not even just a matter of, you know, it's a conversation that we've had because we've got an issue. It's the conversation we had is going to benefit me, which is going to benefit the whole family because it's working on myself. So when we talk about we're trying to improve on conversations, it's so much broader than just our ability to communicate.
Yeah.
It's that when we do communicate, we're all getting better.
Yeah.
We're getting stuff off our chest. We're identifying things. We're growing as individuals and a family. But that's the thing is if we grow as an individual, our family benefits.
Yeah.
So which I've really felt from this conversation.
And even like the only reason you had that thought and you put that into a concrete thought was because we were talking about something else and it triggered it. So if you're not having conversations like this, like it actually helps strengthen because throughout conversations is when you explore stuff that you maybe didn't even know was sitting there. It's interesting because like the other things we've been learning, there's two other things that play really closely into this is one is that what you focus on is what you'll get. And the example that they give is like that when you are buying a certain type of car, you then see that car everywhere.
Mm.
It's like all of a sudden that car is everywhere on the roads and you're like, what the heck?
Mm.
Why does everyone have this car? I remember specifically this happening with our Ford, our red Ford Kuga.
Yeah.
And I also remember it happening when we were getting our charcoal Kia Carnival. It was just like everywhere. All of a sudden.
Yeah.
I was like, is everybody getting these?
Yeah. I swear we're the first.
Yeah. But it's like I had never seen it before.
Yeah.
And I remember genuinely thinking that. But the funny thing is what we were learning about it is that, so when you're focusing on something, your brain then is like, I'm going to gather all the evidence that that's the case.
Hmm.
And so you're all of a sudden like, oh, red Ford Kuga. All right. Where are all the red Ford Kugas? And you see them all.
Yeah.
But the other thing that they said when we were learning about this thing was that you also do that to the exclusion of other things. So that in that moment, you're then also not seeing the other cars. You're not also noticing all the other Holdens or whatever that are driving around. Like it's just the Ford Kuga that you're seeing. And so I thought that was a really fascinating thing. It's talking about how what you focus on is what you'll get. So if you're focusing on the negatives, like you said, or you're focusing on the fear, that's what your brain is gathering the evidence for. Your brain, when you were thinking, I'm a horrible dad, I'm ruining this, I'm not going to be a good dad, then your brain's like, all right, you're not a good dad, I'm going to gather all the evidence that you're not a good dad and I'm going to reinforce that because that's what you're focusing on.
Yeah.
And so it's a really powerful tool when you realize that because you can start to shift your focus when you notice your brain going there. You can be like, actually, no, I'm going to focus on the positives.
Mm.
And I've actually done this before in a situation where I was like really struggling with somebody and just found myself negative all the time. And so instead I intentionally every day wrote down something I liked about them for a time. I can't remember how long it was. And it really shifted my attitude.
And we got married.
It was. I didn't struggle that much. it was a really powerful thing. And I was like, there's a reason why gratitude is a good attitude
because it
actually changes the way that you take in the world around you, which then changes your reality.
Mm.
And the other thing that really closely plays into this is thinking above and below the line. It's like a bit of a hard concept or a weird concept at first, but basically like you can either be thinking and functioning from below the line, which means almost like a victim place, things that happen to you, the reasons things are happening or not happening, it's cause and effect, basically the thing that's the reason why it's not happening, basically. Or you can function from above the line and be like, what I can do in the situation, what like the taking control, taking responsibility for it, not being a victim to the situation. You can shift your mindset in that way and it doesn't change a situation, but the place from which you function is going to impact your outcome. So if you're stuck functioning from below the line, you're stuck there like I'm a bad dad, but or you could say I've had a bad day, but it's because my kids were so cranky with me. Yeah, I got really frustrated, but it's because they were like screaming at me. It's because everyone was making loud noise. That's why. And you're stuck there. That's not true.
Mm.
But you can also shift your mentality and be like, what can I do in that? Just because everyone's screaming at you doesn't mean you then
have a permission to react that way.
You're still in control of your body. If we're trying to teach our kids that they're in control of their bodies, we're in control of our bodies and our reactions. And it's the same sort of thing with this fear. So you could be having this reinforced process where you're focusing on, oh, I'm a bad dad. All this evidence is showing I'm a bad dad. So I'm just a bad dad. So I'm just a victim to this bad dad, or like, I can't control it. That is what I am. And that's where you're just going to get stuck in a rut, because you're not going to be able to like shift your process, your reality, the results of that. Or you can shift it up and be like, what can I do? Even if I was a bad dad, which you aren't, even if that evidence is true, I still can do something. So just because, you know, I've had this outburst and I'm a bad, bad dad, I'm doing the quotations, because of that, there's still action you can take in that.
Yep.
You can still take responsibility in that and change. And I think that's a really empowering way of thinking.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, going back to one of the first questions I asked, like what's something that we've learned about disagreement is what I've been learning. And this is something that we really try. I feel like this is the thing that sort of set us on our trajectory of trying to work on communication and supporting each other better, is that we don't like the phrase, it is what it is, or, you know, it's who I am.
Yeah.
We never liked that. It was an excuse. Yeah. Exactly. It's kind of like, well, it is what it is, so I don't have to work on it, you know, or you have to deal with it. And we really struggled with that at the very beginning of our relationship. I remember like a couple of conversations where, you know, or it's like, well, it's typical of, you know, people to do that or whatever else. Like, it's not unique to us. I'm like, that's fine. We're both like, that's fine, but doesn't mean it has to be our reality, you know? And this is where, again, you have to keep on working on this stuff, keep growing in it. Throwing that excuse out of, I am this way, so deal with it, or it is what it is. I think that was a really important thing for us to do from the beginning, because again, looking at our conversation last week, I can come off, you know, give excuses of, you know, I react, like you said, I react to the kids because of these reasons. And so I kind of can justify my, like, you know, that, like, we've got four kids and a puppy, and so it's overwhelming. So of course I do that.
You're victim to your situation.
Exactly. Yeah. But it's like, and this is, I've never wanted to do that, but I think subconsciously I had been.
I think everybody does subconsciously if you're careful.
And that's been a big shift of like, all right, well, I'm not going to play the victim. I'm going to actually do something about this. And I don't think that would have come about if we didn't have the conversation.
Yeah. And you know what? I think this intentional taking your mind,
thoughts
in control again, taking them captive. I think that intentional step is what underpins anyone who's ever been successful in any way, whether relationally, business-wise. I don't think you get there unless there's some kind of random fluke, unless you're able to do this shift. Because if you act a victim to your situations, and some situations you are, like, as in there is victim, it's not right.
Oh, absolutely.
There is stuff that's done to people, and it's like, that has been done to me, but you know what? You still have control in some aspect, even if it's just your attitude. And I think that shift would be an underpinning for anyone who's ever seen positive outcomes.
And it's not to say that your experience or like that's got you there is not a valid thing.
Yeah.
Like you said, some people go through some extremely rough things and that sucks. And we're not saying like, oh, get over it.
Yeah.
We're not saying that. What we're trying to do is encourage that. You from this point on, you are in control with how you respond to that now. And that's what we want to encourage is like you can stay in that spot, you can stay stuck in that place, or you can, you know, get up and go forward. And the going forward is sometimes very, very hard to do, but
worth it. Yeah, it's an empowering thing. It's not a blame thing or anything. It's not like, yeah, but you're really to blame. It's actually like, or you could see transformation here if you want to. And I feel like most relationships, with the exception of ones that, you know, are in abusive, manipulative, that kind of situation. So that's a whole different kettle of fish. But most relationships, if a partner is willing to be like, I'm not just going to be a victim to this horrible communication style we're stuck in, like those ones we talked about in our last chit chat, the four horsemen, like if someone's like, I'm not just going to be okay with that just being the way it is. I'm going to take an attitude of like, what can I do? What responsibility can I take? What can I like step up in or whatever to transform it? I feel like most relationships could be strengthened greatly through that. And again, with the caveat that that's not always received on the other side. So that's the problem with relationships, is there's two people involved. But yeah, I feel like this whole attitude across the board with what you're facing is an incredible thing. If you can like bring yourself around to that understanding at some stage, probably not straight away. Usually there's a time where you're just like, I can't even think clearly, but yeah. So are you healed?
I am perfect in all every way now.
No, I think, do you feel like understanding this has made, I mean, you've already shared a little bit, like even this week has made a bit of a shift, but do you feel like there's things that you're long-term will be a good check for you?
Absolutely. Like I, you know, and this is one of the things I was actually going to talk to one of my mates about. We're going on a hike next weekend together and bringing that up. I think that's the thing, is like, it's not just a once-off conversation. Yeah. Like you and I will keep revisiting this and how am I going and stuff. I'm also going to bring it up with one of my mates. Like, and I'm going to bring it up on this hike, and knowing us, we'll talk about this nearly the whole hike and how it relates to him and so forth. But just, yeah, again, surrounding myself with people that are investing in me, but also giving them the tools to invest in me, if that makes sense, so having that conversation. So I think, yeah, absolutely. I think, again, it was just such an eye-opener to me. It's been something that I've been trying to bring into my work, you know, as well. It's not just my family, but also my work. It's, you know, finished at the end of the day. It's very easy to complain about how difficult things can be. And, you know, like, you know, we've been talking about is that, well, I'm in control of my attitude. Yeah. And so just trying to bring that into nearly every element of life, aspect of life.
Yeah.
No, it's been great. I really, really enjoyed that conversation. I've enjoyed this conversation. This is what I love. You know, the fact that we can just sit down and keep unpacking things
is
I really enjoy it, and I always feel closer to you from it, like 100%. From doing it. And I kind of just have that relief. I'm like, yeah, okay, it's not just me, you know, like we're in this together, and that's, I reckon, really beautiful, but I just love that. So it's good.
Same, baby.
Cool. Well, thank you for joining us for our chit chat.
Until next time.
Bye.
Bye.